Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Welcome back, guys. Adi, welcome.
Hey.
Guys, today we're going to talk about goal setting because we are as far away as it possibly gets from New Year's Eve. It's the middle of the year, and what better time to do some goal setting? Both of us have done a lot of goal setting in our lives, and I think I speak for both of us when I say we've done it in ways that have not worked at all. Mm-hmm. And I think over the past few years, we've really figured it out, not in a way that has allowed us to accomplish literally everything that we wanted, but in a way that is inspiring and definitely makes it much more likely that we accomplish what we want.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
So you have a really good example of something that you're working on right now that I think will sort of set the stage for what we're going to talk about today. What are you working on?
Yeah, so my goal right now, which has been a goal for a long time, which I think is important also in goal setting, is knowing how long it's going to take to achieve a goal. My goal that I've been working on probably since we moved to Austin, which was 3 years ago, has been creating more deeper and fulfilling relationships with other females in my life. I have not had that many friendships that are like really deep and connected the way that I'm looking for. So I've spent the last 3 years working on that. And right now that's a huge priority of mine and a big goal that I'm working on. Mm-hmm.
So what was your big goal and how did you break that out into kind of manageable chunks for yourself?
So my big goal was to have a handful of deep, meaningful relationships with other women. So from there, it was really breaking down like, okay, looking at other people who have lots of deep, meaningful relationships and like, what are they doing with those people? And what are the things, like the smaller goals that I can have to work towards creating that? So some of the smaller goals I had was to meet people and to go places where I could put myself in a position to meet people, mm-hmm. which was definitely uncomfortable for me. So that, I remember you gave me a sub goal of I had to go on one girl date a week with someone I didn't know.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I remember. So that I met some people through there. And then going to different like networking events or trying different classes and then pushing outside, like a goal of pushing outside of my comfort zone and initiating a conversation. I did go to an event where my sub goal was to exchange phone numbers with another girl there and like way to make myself incredibly uncomfortable. it was like I was trying to like get a boyfriend, you know? It kind of feels like that. Yeah, so that was like the smaller, more manageable chunks of just like putting myself out there, making like some goals on meeting people, having conversations, exchanging numbers, and then that gives me the opportunity to follow up and spend mm-hmm. some time.
And then how have you, like what's been the process for you of making it like inevitable that you reach your goal of developing deep, meaningful relationships? Like what have you done on a regular basis to mm-hmm. create and cultivate those relationships?
Yeah. When I look at the people that do have a lot of deep and meaningful relationships, I look at like they're spending time with each other. They're asking each other questions. They're getting to know each other's families and each other's the things that are important to one another. So I knew that I had to carve out time for people, these people. And it couldn't just be like, oh, I've connected with you immediately and therefore we're going to be friends. Some people you need to give time and you need to spend more than one hangout, you know, mm-hmm. like you don't just automatically click with everybody. So making time in my schedule that was dedicated towards getting to know other people and spending time with them was really the processes and habits that I put in place.
And how's that going?
Going really good. Yeah. I mean, I still have moments where I think the hardest part for me, which I think you felt too with your relationships with your guy friends, is feeling like getting wrapped up in the story in my head, like I'm initiating all the time. Because right now I'm like really working on this. And I don't think a lot of other people necessarily work on it as actively as I am right now. So I feel like I'm initiating a lot of the time. Like I'm initiating the conversation. I'm asking questions. I'm going out there asking for people to like, it's not really easy for me for someone to just be like, hey, want to hang out this Wednesday? And it's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I like probably won't be able to hang out. Like I need to have it scheduled ahead of time. So in order to make it work for me, I have to put it on the calendar and I have to make it work that way. Mm-hmm. So I think that was probably my biggest struggle. It's like dealing with, if I'm the one who's always initiating, does that mean they don't actually like me? And I don't think that's true. But it's going really well. Recently, some of our friends are getting pregnant with their families. They're starting families, and we're really getting the opportunity to show up for them. And I'm really excited about this next phase of life.
So I think this is really powerful because a lot of people, I think, have a similar goal of having more deep, meaningful relationships. Mm-hmm. But they just say that kind of willy-nilly, right? They'll just say that in passing. Rarely will they write that down as a goal. Mm-hmm. And even if they do, they just write it down and they revisit it the next New Year's Eve when they're doing resolutions, mm-hmm. right? And so today, guys, what we're going to talk to you about is we're going to highlight some of that process that Adi is using that's allowing her to actually aggressively move towards realizing this goal for herself. Mm-hmm. But first, we're going to talk about why goal setting sucks, because so many people do goal setting in resolutions or as a part of different personal development courses or experiences. And so often it fails because of these reasons that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So the first one is people set what we call outcome goals only. There's like a big goal in the future. So these are things like, I want to have deep, meaningful relationships, or I want to buy a house one day, or I want to get married, or
I want to lose 100 pounds.
I want to win the CrossFit Games.
Right.
Big goals that are set somewhere in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the science on this, the research on this is really clear. This type of goal setting is really inspiring and motivating.
Yeah.
People that do this and nothing else are more successful, without a doubt. If you take the time to identify where you're heading, right, and put your, like, kind of set your sails in a certain direction, mm-hmm. you will be more successful than those who simply go through life without setting any goals at all.
Right.
However, it's not that effective if that's all you do.
Right.
The reason being, it doesn't give you a playbook for how to reach those goals.
And it also is really easy to disconnect from in your everyday life. So when you're going through the difficult moments, which are bound to happen on your way to winning the CrossFit Games or on your way to losing 100 pounds, there's going to be trials and tribulations. And in those low moments, the goal that's out there in the future can very easily seem like it's not worth it, mm-hmm. or I'm never going to get there. And that's when you give up. So just having that outcome goal, it's really easy to just, A, like not feel excited about it anymore when things are hard, and also feel like you're just constantly failing and you're just never going to get there because it's so far out in the future. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important to do the next step.
Mm-hmm. So the second reason that most goals fails is that people don't revisit them. I think the most common manifestation of this is people just setting New Year's resolutions on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. And then that's the only time they think about them, yeah. right? They say, I want to lose 20 pounds. They start going to the gym and, you know, kind of life gets in the way and they give up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't revisit their goals regularly. And when we don't do that, this is just another example of what Adi's talking about. When we don't do that, we forget why we started down a path in the first place. And so when we encounter demotivation or challenges or a plateau or even a step back, then we forget why we started it and we tend to give up.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times it's like uncomfortable to, a lot of it is like trying to protect yourself sometimes too. Mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable to revisit a goal that you're not actualizing or you're not really making headway towards. So it's like you get demotivated and then you forget about it almost unconsciously as a way to protect yourself. Because if I forget about it, then I don't have to like face the fact that I'm not heading towards it anymore.
Mm-hmm. The next one is that people make too many goals, right? During New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, we're full of motivation, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's so excited about resolutions and they probably got drunk the night before, so they're feeling shitty about themselves. And they're full of motivation to change. Just like when someone starts a new training program or starts working with a nutrition coach, we see this all the time. They want to go from 0 to 100 in one move. They want to start a million things at once. And then that'll work for a week or two when motivation and willpower are at its highest. But then life gets in the way and one of those things.
Yeah, and progress just doesn't happen as fast as you think it's going to. Mm-hmm. So we are willing to put an excess amount of time and energy for a short period of time. And then because we do that, often we're taking on too much at once. So most times it's actually an inconvenience. So it's not something that we're going to be able to maintain and sustain. So you've taken on too much. You're working too hard. It's too much of an inconvenience. You're tired. You're sore. You just don't actually have the time long term to put this much effort towards it. And then you also don't get the this massive amount of progress. It's really rare to get this massive amount of progress right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, screw it. What's the point in doing all this work? Where if you would have dialed it back a couple notches, still be able to not overdo it, not overexhaust yourself, mm-hmm. and realize that progress takes time, then you're probably going to be able to push through.
And reaching big goals is a lot about protecting your confidence and your integrity with yourself.
I think it's mostly about protecting your confidence mm-hmm. and integrity, especially at the beginning, because hitting those points of failure, it is so easy to just be like, screw it, this isn't worth it. I'm putting in all this work and I'm not getting the results. Mm-hmm. I'm watching every single thing I eat. I'm hitting the gym and my body has not even changed. My body's never going to change. And that's what you want to avoid, because if you continue to lose integrity with yourself, then you could reach a place of just completely giving up and not trying at all. And that is not where you want to be. So as long as you know and you have confidence that you can do the things you say you're going to do and not be so attached to what the outcome is going to be, then you can continue to head towards any goal that you ever want. It doesn't matter because nobody can tell you how long it's going to take. Mm-hmm. I really think protecting your confidence and integrity with yourself is number one when it comes to goal setting.
And setting too many goals at once is a recipe for deteriorating your integrity with yourself, right?
Yes.
Because so few people can manage going from 0 to 100 in any area of life. So as soon as one or two of those things falls off, you start to doubt yourself. You start mm-hmm. to lose self-esteem. And then before long, it all deteriorates.
Right.
And then the last thing that we see that really gets in the way of people setting goals that are effective for them are setting goals for the wrong reasons. You have a really good example of one way that people set them for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. So when we say the wrong reasons, we mean setting a goal because your parents want you. Like, I want to be a doctor because my parents are going to be proud of me, mm-hmm. not because I actually want to be a doctor. For me, the example is I used to think that I wanted to be national champion in weightlifting. And I had this goal. I'm going to win the national championships. I really want to win the national championships in weightlifting. And that was the reason for me to do it. It was just for the glory of being national champion.
And where did that come from? Like, where did that desire come from?
I think it was just like, that was the sport I was in and I like winning and that's the highest thing you could do. And so it was like, naturally, I want to get to the top, mm-hmm. right? I feel like that's like a natural thing for most people. Mm-hmm. Just, I start doing something, I'm spending a lot of time and putting a lot of effort towards it. What am I trying to achieve? I didn't want to be like, at the time was like, I didn't want to just focus on like being better than myself. I wanted the glory of like, I wanted everyone to think I was awesome and the attention and all that kind of things. So I thought I wanted to be national champion. And I did it for the reasons of other people giving me attention and other people thinking I was great and all of that credibility and notoriety, mm-hmm. not because I wanted to put in the work. So when I started coaching athletes like Jessica Lucero and Katrin David's daughter and all these people who are champions and seeing what it actually takes to become a champion, I'm like, oh, wait, I really don't actually want to become national champion. Like I do want to become national champion, but not for the right reasons. And by the right reasons, meaning I don't love the process and I don't want my life to look like that day to day. There are other things that are more important to me than training, which is just, that's for me. And accepting that and really realizing that for myself allowed me to let go of the goal. And I think there's something really painful and uncomfortable about holding on to a goal that you don't actually want to do the things necessary to achieve. So you're, it's like, it's almost like baggage, like a burden to carry.
Yeah, you're just out of alignment.
Right. So I'm like carrying this burden, like believing that I want to be national champion and going into training and for the reasons of being national champion when I don't actually want to put in that much work. Mm-hmm. So I am never going to achieve it. And that's a burden.
Mm-hmm. And even if you did achieve it, you wouldn't be fulfilled.
Right. Exactly. So it felt good to figure that out.
Yeah, that's huge. And that, I think, is the absolute foundation of setting goals that actually work. First, identifying or asking yourself, is this goal mine? Is this something that I actually want? Mm-hmm. Right? Where did this come from? And if you find out that it came from your parents, your peers, society, a need or some form of lack, right? I need to accomplish this so then I am worthy or accepted or liked, that's probably not going to work out best for you long term.
Yeah. If there's any attachment to some type of outcome, like a real attachment, like it's a requirement for need to be liked when I achieve this goal or for my parents to be proud of me, that's probably something to look deeper into.
Mm-hmm. So guys, we're gonna tell you how to actually do goal setting that works. We have a PDF on our website. You can just Google Working Against Gravity
Goal Setting Guide.
And yeah, you can download a PDF with all of what we're about to talk about.
It's like a worksheet.
Like a worksheet. So how do we do it? First, write down your outcome goal, your big goal. We have to have a North Star somewhere that we're actually working towards. That's the first step. The second step is the sub-goals. So in your example, you had this goal of setting deep, like several deep meaning relationships, and your sub-goal was just to spend more time with people, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like an intermediate step on the way to hitting this North Star, this big goal. If you had just said, I want to have deep meaningful relationships, it doesn't really give you an idea of what you have to do in the meantime to start working towards that.
Yeah. And I had some small goals of like going on one date with a girl I've never met before.
I love it. I love it. So this is like if your goal is to do 20 muscle-ups in a row and you want to be able to do that within a year, where do you need to be in 3 months? Maybe you need to be doing 12 in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to make $100,000, where do you have to be in 6 months? Maybe $50,000. Mm-hmm. So you want to give yourself bite-sized chunks that allow you to have little wins along the way. Because remember, we're in the confidence game. We're trying to maintain our confidence and maintain our motivation so that we don't give up on the way to this goal.
You want to be seeing success as often as possible, and failure is good. It's good. It's also motivating sometimes to like have the challenge, but the ratio of success to failure is something that you should be careful of.
Mm-hmm. Next is you have to have some sort of process. So we've got outcome goal, sub goal, and process. The process is a series of behaviors, a series of skills that need to be developed, all of the things that you need to be doing in order to reach your sub goals and your big outcome goal. Mm-hmm. So what was your process?
It was putting time on the calendar. It was finding events that I would be able to meet other people at. Those are my two biggest pieces of the process.
I love it. And lastly, one way to process, I think, is still too vague for people sometimes, because it can be, you know, if we talk about winning a football championship or winning the CrossFit Games, the process includes hundreds of different things, right? And when we're first starting out, that can be really overwhelming, right? We talked about doing too many things at once earlier. The next piece is identifying one habit at a time, one habit that you can focus on, really master so that it becomes automatic. It becomes a part of who you are. So we've got the outcome goal, the sub goal, the process, and then focusing on one habit. And one kind of what I'll call a meta habit. I've never heard that. That sounds really pretentious. But I think a meta habit to get into is revisiting your process. And so I'll give you an example of how I'm using this in my life. And hopefully this will make more sense. Because earlier we said one of the reasons people fail is because they don't revisit their goals often enough. So one of my big goals is to be just an incredible leader, just an incredible business leader in general. And I've worked with a business coach for a little while, and he did this thing called a 360 interview where he interviewed the 10 people that I work most closely with. And he asked them all what, you know, basically what are all of my biggest strengths and my biggest opportunities for growth. And at the end of all of those interviews, he compiled them, especially the obstacles. And we identified like 15 things that I can work on as a leader, right? So big goal, be the best leader I can be. Sub goal, work on these 10 to 15 things.
Yeah.
Sub goal under that is work on three things, because there's no chance I'm going to be able to aggressively work towards 15 things at once.
No way.
So I identified the three things that I, as well as the rest of my team, felt like were the highest leverage things for me to be working on.
And I think the highest leverage is like most realistic, most important, and would affect the most other things.
Right. The things that make the others easier or even non-existent anymore. Like it immediately solves some of the other obstacles. Then the process, I need to tell you about the three things. The three things are me being more curious at work rather than just delegating and telling people what to do, trying to understand how people are already approaching things themselves before inserting my own ideas. The second is being more productive, so working on my own personal task management. And the third is being more explicitly and proactively appreciative. I'm a really shitty praise giver. And we know in any form of leadership that praising what people are doing well is one of the most impactful way to influence and reinforce people. So those are the three things that I'm working on. And my process is kind of wrapped up in that. Then the habit, the biggest habit that I have that is allowing me to continue working aggressively towards that is in my morning journal, I ask myself, am I doing my absolute best to be curious, productive, and appreciative? And I look back over my last 24 hours and I say basically yes or no. And then I have this tally going in my mind. It's showing if I'm on track working towards these things.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good tactical way to go about it, because it's a way to revisit it, and it's a way that nobody else is going to see, and you can be really honest and open about if you're heading towards it.
Exactly. So again, guys, how to make goals effectively. Write down your outcome goal, your big goal. What is your North Star? Like, what do you want to hit in 6 months, a year, 10 years?
What fires you up?
Then break that down into sub-goals. And if it's a 10-year goal, then you can write down a 5-year goal, and then a 1-year goal, and then a 1-month goal, and then a 1-week goal, right? Really set yourself up to have some benchmarks to hit wins along the way. You don't want it to take too long for yourself to hit something that's really reinforcing.
Yeah.
Then identify what your process is. What are the skills you need to develop? What are the habits that you need to put into place? What are all of the actions that you need to be taking in order to reach that first sub goal? And then finally, what is the one habit that you will focus on first? The one thing that you will do that you will make automatic so that you can start building integrity with yourself and maintaining that confidence.
Yes, this is a perfect recipe to achieve any goal.
So guys, we forgot to start the show out with this before we get out of here. We would love to hear from you. We want this podcast to really be a conversation between you and us. So we're starting this new thing where we're going to allow you to leave us questions basically via voicemail on our website, and then we will answer them on the show, and we'll probably end up putting one in per show. So you can leave us a voicemail at workingagainstgravity.com/podcast. That's workingagainstgravity.com/podcast. We'll also put that in the show notes. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.